lovely sister in the Lord, Nashani. I've only got to know her quite recently, and I'm trying to remember how the Lord has blessed her in so many opportunities. She has her own business, but she's of such caliber and professionalism that she gets employed by DHL as the learning and development lead. And in that role, they've won a number of awards. They've done well. They're top 10 employer in Africa, or
top five.
So under Nashani, she's bringing kingdom into the workplace, secular probably, but having influence to bring kingdom principles and value to create a place that is recognized as one of the top 10 performers. So she's really gifted. She has a passion for what we're doing through business to help others and to achieve that. And so we've asked her to give us a bit of a discussion as our banker. Don't know what her lineup is for the till, but certainly she's got some very interesting insights to help us understand that. So thank you, Nashani. God bless.
Okay, while the presentation comes up, I just want to say the higher the heels, the closer to heaven. So I'm very honored. Thank you very much to be the only woman speaker at this conference. I think that's very important, so yay.
Yay!
I'm going to speak to you about beyond charity. So we've heard so much, and I've really been inspired. But how do we increase profit through innovative strategic partnerships? So thank you for taking this trip with me. Just bear with me as we get to the end, because I've got 30 minutes. Okay, getting into gear. Overcoming poverty is not an act of charity. It's an act of justice. Okay, poverty is man-made, just like apartheid, just like slavery. It is not God's design for man. Okay, poverty is completely man-made, and I speak from experience. My presentation is from, so over 4 decades of experience, but I come from poverty. Okay, I come from real poverty. I come from having ice cubes in my fridge and trusting God for my next loaf of bread. Okay, so with 2 children who are looking at me. So I know what I'm talking about. I know what goes on in a person's mind, and I know how important it is when you give to honor the dignity of the human being that you are giving to. Because we have this crazy notion that because I'm giving to you, that I'm better than you, that I'm more blessed than you, that maybe you don't tithe, that's why your fridge is empty. You know? So let's get over ourselves. That's about getting into gear. Okay, the next picture. I love this picture because I really struggled with it. I really struggled with the fact that, okay, Jesus, how on earth are we supposed to do this new thing that you're telling us? How on earth are we supposed to? Because that is a picture of where Jesus got angry. Okay? He got angry and he cleaned out the temple. And he said, this is the house of prayer. Okay? So how am I supposed to bring business, community, all these things into the church? What on earth are you talking about? And guess what he did? As he so lovingly does, he gives me a little, you know, kick on the tush and says, oh, and who is the church? Well, the church is the church. No, we are the church. Okay? We're the church. And if I'm the church, then my prayer went like this. Dear God, please walk through my life and crash those tables where you are not being honored. Okay? I work in a corporate. I make no apology for it. I've worked on my own. I run my own business. I make no apology for it. Okay? And what happened? The tables where mammon was being chased crashed. Okay? The tables where I was not sharing the limelight crashed. The tables where I had to was chasing performance instead of excellence. Boom, crash, crash, crash. That was a hard whoop. Hard whoop. And that's what he did. And he said to me, you are the church. You are the temple. God lives in you. Okay? We see that being born again is about heaven coming to live in us. Okay? We see that. And if heaven is living in us, then where are we? We're the church everywhere we go. Whether I'm home with my teenagers, whether I'm in the business world. So I make no apology for that. Okay? I make no apology for being top of my game. And I say that with God confidence. I say that with God confidence because, let me tell you, I struggled with this. Being an Indian girl who grew up really poor and having now to go to Johannesburg and try to make this life, okay? Power without love is reckless and abusive, but love without power is anemic and weak. And I think I've lived both sides of that. I was a full-time missionary. I was an OMer, just like our colleague in the end there. I was a full-time missionary, worked in the ships. So there was this love business going on, okay? And then I went into the boardroom, and I was worried about, like, oh, my goodness, how do I exercise power and influence, you know, without compromising love? And that's important. When we bring it together, then we are exercising kingdom principles in a way that does not dishonor God, because that was important for me, okay? And I had to get to grips with the fact that actually he might make you a little bit influential. He might make you a little bit powerful, okay? Jesus had crowds following him. Crowds don't follow just anybody, okay? In today's day and age, let's think about it. Where do we have crowds following us? Any ideas? Come on, guys. I know it's after lunch, but we have crowds following us. I have already posted on Facebook and Twitter this conference and what's been happening. I said it's pivotal. I said mark this day. It's a day in history. Okay? I said mark this day. It's a day that history is being made. That's why it's good to have that photograph, because it's the first ever. You know? And guess what? Over 500 people are following me on Facebook. Over 500 people are following me on Twitter, and crowds are following us. So use your influence, use your power to inspire what God is doing. Because the next time you run into somebody at the airport who you've not seen for 10 years, and they say to you, I'm stalking you on Facebook, you go, yay, God. Because there's a conversation opener. There's a conversation opener. I'm not saying that you should spend all your time there. Everything in moderation is good. But that's just where I was coming from. And God had to say to me, change your mindset. Get into gear. Get into gear. Okay, the current context. So I just want to say, church, NPOs, business, it's all the same kind of space. You need to take what you need to take out of this. Okay, you can apply it in your church, and you can apply it in your business and in your charity. So I just want to say, the current context. Both charities and businesses, globalization. I work for the most international company in the world. We are in every country. And you can pick up a notebook and pen, compliments of DHL, by the way. And what happens? We've got globalization. We've got increased competitiveness. What's going to make you stand out in a global context? Okay? So businesses, let's get over ourselves. Businesses are there to make money, to make profit. If you do not make profit, shut down your business. Okay, so get to grips with the fact that making the green stuff is good. It's okay. Okay, don't pretend to be motivated by something else. Let's own it. Stop thinking that the right thing is a financial lost cause. I think that's the main thing, because we all want to do good, and then we think, oh my goodness, it's going to cost me my time, it's going to cost me my money. Where must I get extra money when I can't even put food on the table at home? You know? And make the world a better place while improving your bottom line. Be open to financial opportunities of partnerships for the right causes. Charities, we are not a begging bowl in Africa, okay? I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the children beg for bread. That is in the Bible. I don't know where it is, but I've lived on that word for a long time, okay? Another thing, I'm going to show you how. But make your arguments with spreadsheets rather than just supplication, okay? Get off your knees and do some spreadsheets, okay? My colleague then just spoke to you about numbers. Yeah. Incredible, right? Yeah. You want to do something. Yeah. Okay? But that's spreadsheets. Walk into business and offer them an opportunity of a lifetime. Instead of always making pleas for handouts, demand a seat on the strategic table. Okay? Let me tell you, corporate social responsibility or course marketing, it may not be different. So I want to tell you a quick story about my first job. Okay, so I'm the eldest of six, and huge burden. I had to now finish school and go to find a job and et cetera, because the family was counting on me. The alternate was to sort of, you know, give in to an arranged marriage, and then, you know, my husband would kind of provide. Of course, I have a very stubborn streak, I must tell you. And what happened? The pavilion was being built. Okay, I lived in a small town called Esainagar. If you know the North Coast, it's a tiny town. If you blink, you'll miss it. And here I was, 18, 19 years old. I heard that the pavilion had casual workers that they were taking. Of course, a couple of my friends got interviews. I did not get an interview. Okay? I did not get an interview. Nobody called me, even though I put my name down. But what did I do? I found out who was the store manager. Okay? I found out who was the store manager. I found out where Pavilion was, because remember, I come from a little village. I found out where the Pavilion was, and I took 4 minibus taxis. You know the minibus taxis you go like? Yeah? I took 4 minibus taxis, walked over Warwick Avenue Bridge in that journey, and got myself to the Pavilion. When I got to the Pavilion, they were in construction mode. I put on a hard hat, found my way to the Edgar staff entrance, knocked on the door, and I said, "Hi, I have a meeting with Peter Folks." Who was the manager? Of course I didn't, but I have a meeting with Peter Folks. And they invited me in. I sat outside his office. And ladies, let me tell you, he was to die for. The most gorgeous man you have ever seen. Okay? And I am a sucker for blue eyes. Here he was. And my goodness. He said to me, "Oh, I'm sorry, we're not employing any more casuals." And I said to him, "No, I'm not here for a job. I'm here to give you an opportunity." And he looked at me. He said to me, I said to him, "Please, you need to open accounts. You need people to come and buy at your store. Okay? I will take away account forms. I will go and open it. You only pay me for the accounts that are successful." You know what he did? He said, "Okay, I guess that's good." I said, "Yes, because they'll come to the store. You'll have, you know, people coming in." And he went, "Okay, sure." And I said, no basic, just commission, only on successful accounts. This is a win-win for you." He asked me how many forms I wanted. I said, 200, and I'll be back on Saturday. Okay? Because I was determined to make, because guess what? Every miracle starts with a need. Okay, I was supporting a family of 8, or assisting in supporting a family of 8. So I know what that's like. And here I was. I went back, and I was earning money before that store opened. Okay? I was earning money before that store opened. Guess what he did? He offered me a job. But of course now, I didn't want to travel alone, because remember the 4 minibus taxis. So I said to him, "I've got 2 more people just like me. Won't you employ them?" And he employed my best friend and my sister. Okay? Based on my recommendation, based on my reputation and the value that I added into his business. And that is what cause marketing is. Let me show you quickly. Okay? We look at CSR, which is corporate social responsibility. It's how business and corporates behave towards people, community, natural resources. We've heard about this in the South African context. We've heard about this a lot. It's been part of our legislation. What I want to introduce you to is cause marketing. It's about leveraging a charitable brand to increase sales, support product positioning, or differentiate from competitors. And for charities, it increases visibility. NPOs, churches, increases visibility and makes tangible connections, real, real tangible connections. Okay? Let's see why we should consider moving towards cause marketing. Look at what the research is saying. 83% more of our customers wish more products, services, and retailers would support causes. 80% are willing to switch from one brand to another. And 61% are willing to try a new brand, one they've never heard of, if it's associated with a cause. Let me show you an example. Procter & Gamble, winner of 2012 Forbes magazine. It's a Golden Halo Award that the Forbes magazine runs. Okay, one packet of Pampers, one vaccine. Every time you bought a packet of Pampers, you were buying a vaccine. Okay, what happened? When you buy a packet of Pampers, 100 million mothers and babies since 2012. The NPO partner, UNICEF. Okay, but what happened? It was a linking and a partnership, a strategic partnership. Because guess what? Sales went up. When I'm a new mother and I'm buying myself Pampers and I think, "Oh, what about that other baby?" It means that just by buying my Pampers, not doing anything else, I am then supporting a charity. They also did CSR, which was 100% renewable, zero manufacturing of their manufacturing waste went to landfills. Those are kind of corporate things. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Look at this. Look what happens when your business, and I mean, I know you're writing business plans for that prize, when your business gets its staff involved in sort of cause marketing and CSR projects. You get an increase in morale and staff satisfaction. You get personal and professional development, so team building skills happen. You get leadership skills because leadership comes from within that group. You get the picture's in there, the leveling of management structure, because suddenly the hierarchy is broken as you start to work together on a project. An increase in diversity for staff awareness. Can you see all of those things that you outsource and pay for, you can get by just simply getting your staff involved? It gives them a sense of purpose. It changes the value proposition of an organization to that of an abundant organization. If you look at this is Dave Ulrich's work. But abundant organizations have civility, happiness, growth, resilience, engagement, positive work environment, high-performing teams. Individuals are motivated. You know, and this is what we need in our society. So we're giving people a sense of purpose. We're giving them a sense of pride to belong to an organization or a business or an NPO that is making such a difference. Okay. So let's stop thinking of it as charity. When you're looking at a strategic business partnership between a business and an NPO, what is the best case scenario? What is the worst case? What is the possible ROI I can expect? These are questions you need to ask. These are questions that you need to ask. And these are questions that will position you, if you're an NPO, to stand out. Because let me tell you, my inbox is filled every day with people requesting funding. And guess what? I just cannot get to everybody. Okay? Ask the same questions you would ask if you were expanding a distribution channel, if you were doing business development. What would be the question that you ask? You ask those same questions of an NPO. Okay? Let me speak to you about this. So I'm just going to spend a few minutes on this slide. This slide and this model came from some work that I did in Eldorado Park and Soweto, and that's in Johannesburg. And what happened was that my son got involved in some drugs. He started using drugs, and I found myself looking for a rehab facility that was affordable, et cetera. And then I studied coaching, so I went and did my specialization in addiction. And then I thought, okay, but what about the communities? What about the people who cannot afford this, who do not have resources, who cannot afford it? So I wanted to take it into the community. But remember this, I'm a single mom, I didn't have a corporate job at that stage, and I have no support, so I've got these four BDIs looking at me, and I've got 20,000 rand a month that I've got to pay for rehab. Okay? And I thought like, okay, Lord, but you know what? I was angry. I was so angry. And the gift of anger is that it sets boundaries. And I said enough, okay? And what I did was like, okay, Lord, you take care of the details. You know my heart. Here we go. A woman contacted 702, and she said, there's these kids that come to her creche. She looks after HIV orphans. There's these kids that come to her creche, and she wants to, she's feeding them soup, and she needs to do something about them, but they're all addicts, so please help. It was on 702. The harvest is ready. The workers are few. I phoned 702, I got her details, I had a meeting with her, it was her and her minister, and we got involved. So it was an associate coach and myself, and we thought, okay, how do we do this? How do we leverage, how do we impact such a huge problem? Because let me tell you something, addiction, the disease of addiction, is taking our country by storm economically, in every possible way, even financially, okay? It is bigger than the AIDS epidemic was in the 80s. And if we're going to be socially relevant, best we get up to speed. Okay? So what happened quickly was that decided, okay, let's see how we're going to do this. Okay? here we are. We thought, okay, let me get 100 people together. But that 100 people, remember my story of my first job, was like, how am I going to get to add value to these guys' lives? So the police, the social workers who were inundated and exhausted, the school teachers, the churches, and worst of all, the parents who were losing their children. Okay? So we got them all together. We got them all together in a room, which the police provided, by the way, because the police station had a big group. We got them together in a room and we said, listen, we're going to train, mentor, coach you to address these issues. I don't have all the answers, but I believe the answers lie in the community. Okay? The answers lie in the community because you're intelligent. Remember, we are on the same level. Okay? We are intelligent. God speaks to you. These are your children. These are my children. Let's get this done. Okay? And we trained, two of us, we trained people. In the meantime, what I was doing was going to the clinics, going to the pharmaceutical industry, and going wherever I could to say, I am training these people to shift something in this community. We trained 100 people. They agreed to touch and to do group sessions once a week with 10 people. That's 1,000 people. Okay, those 1,000 people went home and impacted 4 people on average. That's 4,000 people from our 100 people. That's it. Okay, suddenly, and let me tell you, that was then, and then it was Eldorado Park, which my family were like, you cannot go to Aldo's. Okay, and I was like, yes, I can. Because what happened was that the MEC, Nomvula, contacted me and said, I want to have social cohesion in Eldorado Park. Will you come? And that is about being in the crowd. If you Google my name comes up for 2 pages of Google. Okay? I make no apology for that. Because that's what happened. She contacted me and she said, I want you. Come. And so we went. And we had social cohesion. And we spoke to people who were Shebeen workers. And we said to them, no more selling. They made a commitment. Okay? No more selling to underage children. Okay, that's the type of social cohesion. That's the type of relevance. And guess what? God was in it. God was in it. In Soweto, let me tell you what happened in that 1 year. And this is from no money, no big plans. Okay, the money came at the end. God blessed us with 450,000 rand at the end. But for 8 months, I kind of labored. Guess what happened? 65 kids were put into rehab. The community did it. 200 children were reunited with their families. This includes girl children. Because to get a girl child off the street, you got to address her pump, you got to do this, you got to do that. Okay? Guess what happened? When the kid was naughty at school and the teachers were exasperated, they didn't phone the social worker, they phoned the pastor. We've got this kid and we think he's high. Can you help? Okay? BBC caught wind of what we were doing in Soweto and they made a movie. Okay? So we got global recognition and global satisfaction. I didn't orchestrate all these meetings. All I did was say, yes, I will. I did not orchestrate all these meetings. But I was responsible with what God had given me in the space of being that. It is not so much about the performance, remember that. It's about the excellence. It's about the excellence in the kingdom. And that's what it was about. Because we worked through the church. We prayed every time. We interceded. But I only worked with those 100 people. I did not shift that community. The community shifted themselves. Okay, because the answers lie with them. They are brilliant. They're exceptional. And we are equal. Exactly that. Equal. So I just want to share with you, that's what happened with this. So let's talk a little bit about nuts and bolts. I don't know if you know about the BBB status and the new codes in South Africa. So I think one of the things that one needs to be aware of is the legislation in this country. Because let me tell you something. If you're a small business, okay, if you're a level one, and if you're black owned, and if you're female like me, every corporate business has a procurement spend, which means if they spend with me, and my business, they can claim back 135% of their spend on the scorecard. Okay? A white male-owned business, a small enterprise, automatically qualifies as a level 4 contributor. Okay? So, guys, I mean, understand the legislation. Understand that it is legislated that all corporates spend 1% of their net profits after tax and earnings on corporate social responsibility, on building community. That means there's money there. Okay? There is money. There's plenty of money if we know how to tap into it. But don't come to a corporate, and I'm saying this with love. I really am. Okay? I have so many NPOs come to me. Will you come out next week and see me? No. Will you come to my boardroom and meet me? Because I'm running between meetings. No, will you come out and see me? Will you come out to the community? No. Make a difference. Show me how you can add value. Show me how my brand can be linked with yours. Okay? So, let's do the next one. Okay. What does losing look like? I don't know if any of you have read this book, Dead Aid. It's a book published by World Economist, Moyo. And in the last 50 years, she published in 2012, by the way, $1 trillion in development money flowed into Africa in the last 50 years. Okay? $1 trillion. Where is that money? Okay? So remember that it also can be a loss because we've got gang lords, we've got a whole host of other people, nepotism, and that's what losing looks like. And that's the reality of it. Okay. You all know the story? I don't know. It's the story of an axe. Okay? There was one guy who was, there were two guys actually, chopping down trees. The one guy worked all day. Chop, 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 chop. Didn't stop, didn't have lunch break. You know, often what we do as passionate NPOs or passionate whatever, you know, chop, 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 chop. Here we go, here we go. Work, eat, sleep. Okay, doesn't stop. And the other guy was taking lunch. In fact, he napped during lunch break. Okay, and then come end of the day, they look at their piles of logs, and the guy who'd been working his heart out. Okay, and I don't know if you've ever heard this, like hard work, anyway. He's been working his heart out, looks at his pile and he's got, oh. And then he looks across at his mate and he said, how is that possible that you have 10 times what I have in your pile? Because you were napping. And you know what he said? Did you notice that when I sat down, I was sharpening my axe? You know? And people often ask me, how do you do 3 jobs? And raise 2 children. Okay? I sharpen my axe. I know that I won't invest in something or I won't do business with the client if it's not going to pay me what I'm valued. I won't do it. I'll refer it to somebody else. Because my axe is sharp. I want to make high impact. I want the best. I want the most difficult so that my brand is that I'm sought after for innovation. I want the most difficult. I've worked for Sanrail. I've worked for the Guptas. I go where God sends me to be the light. And I've asked for it. I've asked for it. I said, I'll take it on. Give it to me. I'll take it on. And that's what I will do. Because guess what? When I worked for Sandrail, nobody wanted to work for them. So they paid me triple the amount. Okay? I finished an 18-month project in 6 months and I was out the door. And they still said to me, please come back. And I said, no. I was done. But that's excellence. That's taking what you've got under the anointing of God and doing what you need to do. And I cannot begin to tell you. I'm not like a clever chick or anything like that. My saving grace is this. My saving grace is these two things, to be frank with you. When I am weak, he makes perfect his strength in me. Okay? And Jeremiah 33, I'm not sure exactly, but in Jeremiah it says, call on me and I will show you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. So when I can't read a financial spreadsheet properly, guess what? I call on him. When I can't understand what's the next step, where's the way out, where's the innovation, I call on him. And he shows me. And he shows me. You know? So what should charities have? Develop a clear understanding of who they are in context of cause marketing. So have they researched the mindset of the stakeholder? How can their cause be best marketed? To what democratics will that market appeal? I wonder if you're an NPO if you do this. If you check, how can I link myself to a brand, to a corporate? Develop a strategy to engage companies, employees, and consumers. Okay? You shouldn't have to do all the work if you're a company. I expect that the person coming to me from an NPO will be able to tell me. Build a best practice for cause marketing. Develop a support structure to support and service winning partnerships. What businesses should do. Think. Research. Hear what matters to your internal and external stakeholders in the context of cause marketing. Generate ideas for a strategy. Position your value proposition. Okay. Remember, you need to position why you're adding value. Strategy, build a framework. Winning strategy to set your course marketing apart. Because it will set you apart in the market. Remember what we said about the statistics around consumers. Because everybody is doing the same thing. We've all heard the marketing spiel. What is your unique selling proposition? You know? What is your unique selling proposition? Okay. What you should do, plan and be deliberate. Okay. Walk the talk. Walk the talk. And best of all, measure and keep score. If it doesn't get measured, it doesn't get done. You need to measure it. Measure and keep score. Okay. I'm just going to go quickly. I know that you all probably know this, but I just want to go quickly through this. Vision. And a vision statement without vision, my people, perish. You know what happens when God gives me a word or gives me vision? I get stubborn. I'm like, you know what? God's given me this word. If he's opened this door, I actually don't care what you're saying. Because I get tunnel vision. I get set on what God is saying. And there we go. You know? So your vision statement, especially for those who are doing the business plan now, should be simple, it should be memorable, it should stir imagination. Bono's one campaign, make poverty history. Simple vision statement. Okay? It's compelling, it's portable, it's memorable, it creates opportunity to tell the bigger picture. And guess what else it does? When I introduce, if that is your vision statement, and I'm introducing you, Graham, I'm going to say, hi, meet Graham. He's the energy man, and he's eradicating poverty. Guess what that does in a business context when you're making an introduction? Guess what that does? Suddenly, people are interested. This is not Graham, my friend. This is Graham, the energy man, who was eradicating poverty. You know? Mission statement. What do you do? For whom you do it? What is the benefit? The statement of purpose, the statement of value, statement of behavioral standards, and the statement of character. Guys, this will be available to you, but what is organization's culture? What are the behavioral standards? You know, what are the Christian values that you subscribe to? You know, projecting human dignity, integrity, doing things with integrity, all of those things. You know, it's God principles. It's kingdom principles. And we should be dictating this to the workplace, not the other way around. Okay, because where we go is church. Okay, so if my church is in the boardroom, so be it. So be it. And really, you know, there's a lot of things that can be said about what's the right thing, what's the wrong thing, what should we have, shouldn't we have. It's very simple. Do the right thing. Do the right thing that when you stand before your Father, he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's it. It's very simple. Very, very simple. Let's not complicate things with huge HR issues. Okay. So vision and mission statement, there's an example. Remember, your vision statement is for the future. Your mission statement is for the present. An example, Center for Disease Control vision statement, healthy people in a healthy world, mission to promote healthy and quality life by preventing and controlling disease injury, and disability. Simple. Simple. You know straight away what that's about. Okay. Rules to live by. Let the locals decide what needs to happen. Okay. Don't go there and think that because you're far more affluent or knowledgeable or skillful, that God does not work through them. Please let the locals engage them. Okay, find out whom you need to talk to, who is trusted and respected. Remember my case study in Aldo's and in Soweto was the chief of police. He was my contact person. And he brought in the community leaders. I didn't have to go looking for them. Okay. Find motivated people that can impact change and support them. Be dubious about the easy way. Okay? Be very dubious about that. By all means, avoid endorsing the cycle that you're seeking to end. If we are going to end poverty, then let's not endorse that cycle. Okay? See the whole picture. Think about the system in which we are located. So, in other words, see everything. See everything. See that entire system. See it in 5 years. Do a 3-year strategy. Do a 5-year plan. You do it for your business. Okay? Don't just address the symptom. Think of the causes. I just want to say, the story about teaching a man to fish, it's very important that we teach something. Okay? But when the boy had the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, there was something incredible about that miracle. Not that God multiplied it, because I believe in abundance and God can multiply it. He works on a different economy scale. I always say, my company controls my salary, but God controls my income. God controls my income. Okay, and I don't care what's on that bank balance. He's my father and I'm his child. End of story. Okay, and what did the boy with the fish do in order for all of those people to get their miracle? He gave his all. He had to give up his all. Okay? He gave his all. And what happened? A miracle happened. So whatever God is doing, consider the cost. There is a cost. You know? But, there is also abundance. And listen to the voice of God in you and create. Okay, so the Spirit of God lives in us, right? Okay? Spirit of God lives in us. And what do we have? We have the creative ability of God in us. We have Holy Spirit inspiration. We have Holy Spirit motivation. Okay? So it means that the words I speak are creating. It means that the words I speak are creating. If I am going to create, I'm so tired. Guess what? I wouldn't be finishing 2 books currently. Okay? If I'm going to confess, it's this, it's that, woe is me. I'm a single mom raising 2 kids. Blah-de-blah, I've come from an abusive background. Blah-de-blah. So what? Because but then God. Okay? But then God. So that's where the stubbornness comes in. I don't care. I'm a child of God. End of story. End of story. Okay? So, Yoda. I love Yoda. And there's a lot that I've spoken about today, and I really want to try and keep it to the 30 minutes. And it's you either do this or you don't. We've had a lot in this conference. We've had a lot for the last, I think, month that God's been pulling together. Do or do not. There's no try. Okay? If you really believe what you say you believe in the Word of God, then I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Okay? There's no try. There's no try. And remember in your language, I am not trying to lose weight. I am losing weight. End of story. End of story. Because whatever you speak, you create. Words have life. Right? And I want to leave you with this last poem. I must say I'm very excited. Last Saturday, I sat with the illustrator. And my poetry book is now being illustrated for publication in Easter. So I'm really excited. I'm really, really excited. But I want to share with you this poem. And this is when I worked with the Watota Church in Rwanda. And God laid upon me. So poetry doesn't come to me. It comes through me. And I'm a conduit of it. In 2012, I just want to tell you quickly, I left a corporate banking job of 16 years and the security thereof and jumped into the arms of God because I didn't have a contract, I didn't have an anchor client, I didn't have nothing. And I had these 2 kids. Okay? And God said to me, jump. And I jumped. And he saw me through those 2 years, okay? And I went and I did all these exciting works with government and the Guptas and all of those people. Exciting work. Work that people didn't want to do. I did it. Through God. For his glory. And then then somebody found me. And by the way, I haven't looked for a job in over 10 years. Because work comes to you. Okay? Work comes to you. And that's another thing. We've now taken all the address books. When I was a consultant, and even now, I have a wide network of people. Okay? When I introduce people, I have something called a referral fee. So if I introduce you, Angela, to somebody, and you make 10,000 Rand, 1,000 Rand comes to me as referral. It's passive income. It's leveraging my network. You get 9,000 Rand in your pocket, and I get 1,000 Rand passive income. Remember, I'm a single mom. Okay? But guys, that's how I survived for 2 years. I jumped from the corporate and into the space where I was networked with my referrals through my friends. And I gave the 10% referral fee. And why are we not doing it? Why are we going to find plumbers and handymen outside of the church community? Why? Why are we going to find builders outside of the community that we're helping? We look after our own first. Charity begins at home. You know, and so God then told me, and so I got a call. DHL said to me, oh, you've got this job. We've got this job. Won't you come and try it? And I said to them, no, thanks. It was a Friday afternoon, and they said to me, please come have coffee with us. And I said, where did you get my details? So she said, no, blah, de, blah. I don't know who to thank yet. Okay. Anyway, 2 weeks later, there's an offer on the table that I can't refuse. And I go to God, and I say, what is this? What is this? And he reminded me of the vision he gave me when I was 14 years old. And I said to him, I am a global conduit of your love and financial relief in this world. Okay? And I've stuck with that word. I am. And then what happened? I cried. Oh, you know I cried. And I belched and I was like, oh my God, what are you doing sending me back into the corporate world? And you know what he said? He said, oh, who are you? And I said, I'm a global conduit for you. Of your love and finances globally. And he said, oh, and what is DHL? Oh, it's the most international company in the world. Oh, and does it have the infrastructure to do what you need to do? Yes. I said, yes, Lord. Okay, yes, here I go. Okay, in the last year, God has shown me and allowed me through this job to make an impact on socioeconomic development to the point that the Ekurhuleni mayor has honored me with an award for socioeconomic development in the youth space. Okay. It's taking your skill under the anointing and saying, God, here I am. Here I am. You do with it what you want. I'm just going to go to work. You take care of the details. Okay? Because when you do what you do like that, God is in it. And I really want to share with you this poem as I finish and end on this note. It says, I am. I am the world standing at your door. Calloused feet, dusty from the furious dance of life, wretched and covered by flies. Starving children hang on to bare, empty breasts, no life left to give. Drowning in the whirlpool of hopelessness, my eyes hold no light. I am the world standing at your door. Fire raged anger in my heart, rejection burned scars within my soul, my body ravaged for pleasure, taken, used, discarded, diseased, dying within and without. I am the world standing at your door. My fatherless children torn from me, now riddled with the bullets of poverty. Sons turned soldiers, daughters sold as whores. The pure laughter of a child deadly silenced. Helpless, my maternal instinct squashed by fear. I am the world standing at your door. My dignity hangs in shrouds. Grave clothes puncture the air with its stenches. Look at me. I beg at your door, not for your riches. I beg for love that shatters brokenness. I beg for your ideas to empower me. I beg for your faith to crush my hopelessness. I beg for the human touch, the power of community. But most of all, I beg for that dignity that will make me human again. Look at me. Look at me. I am the world standing at your door. Fearless, you claim to be. Spiritual schizophrenia riddles you with bullets of apathy. Blinded and scarred, you hide behind your tall walls. I am the world standing at your door. It seems today your vision is shrouded. I'm here. Look up. The war that we fear is in both our souls. We're entwined by the space that holds us together. My story hems your life with discomfort, I know. But look again. We are the same person. Take my hand. Open the door. This dance will set us both free. Thank you.